active listening. And active listening basically boils down to making a conscious effort not to only hear the words that another person is speaking, but also, more importantly, to try and understand the complete message that they're sending. Because listening is more than just hearing the words. It's also taking into account all the other little cues that a person is giving as they're listening. And nonverbal cues, as we'll see later on, can be very important. So how can we become better listeners? How can we become a better active listener? Well, the first thing we need to do is pay attention. And I realize this is a bit ironic that I'm speaking about listening on a Sunday afternoon after we just ate lunch, but you know, maybe I'll keep your attention that way. So how can you be a better listener? Well, number one, pay attention. Look at the speaker, put aside distracting thoughts, and listen to that speaker's body language. Because a lot of times people are communicating more to you by their posture, by their facial expressions, than anything else. But we have a few things in the book of Proverbs that I think can also help us become better listeners. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13, Solomon says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him." I'm going to confess, this is something that I really struggle with. A lot of times when someone is talking to me, I am thinking about what I'm going to say in response rather than really listening to what they're saying. Solomon says, the one who answers a matter before he hears it, that's foolishness. But it's a real difficult thing, especially when you think you've got the answers, to sit and listen to what someone is saying. Poor listening and premature answering indicate that the person has a low regard for what the other person is saying, that he or she is too absorbed in their own ideas. In fact, in the Mishnah, which is the commentary that the Jews put together on the Old Testament, they see a person who cares about their own opinions, cares about what they want to say in response. They say that person is showing signs of an uncultured individual. Unfortunately, many of us are too preoccupied with ourselves when we listen. Instead of concentrating on what is being said, we are busy either deciding what to say in response or mentally rejecting the other person's point of view. And I think that this is an appropriate thing to bring up because we live in a day and age where it doesn't seem like people are really listening to each other. There's a lot of communication breakdown. And some of it is in what people say, but also some of it is in how we're listening and taking cues from what they're saying. And in this particular case, it may very well be that we've already decided what our opinion, what our judgment is on what that person is saying to us, and answering it before we've given them a fair hearing. This, I think, can be explained by a number of different things, but at least speaking for me personally, I think that this is an issue of pride. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12, and it's interesting, Proverbs 18 has a lot of good things to say along this train of thought. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 12, Solomon says, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor." So in the verse right before, Solomon talks about the need to listen thoroughly to what someone else is saying. He talks about the folly of pride. Being humble. Being humble can help you be a better listener. In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3, Paul says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." I like that last part. Let each esteem others better than himself. One of the things that really helps me is to think about how another person has something to offer. Maybe that might be a talent. Maybe that might be an ability or a strength that I myself do not have. And thinking about what good another person can do. And I think that this is in keeping with what Paul's talking about in Philippians 2:3. Recognizing that we all have our strengths. We all have something to contribute. And someone else's strength may in fact be my weakness. And having the humility to recognize that, I think this can also help us be better listeners as well. So paying attention, not allowing distractions to lead us astray, not forming counter-arguments in our mind as someone is talking, not allowing ourselves to get bored, to lose focus, all of these can help us become better listeners. The second thing I think we can do to be a better listener is to provide good feedback. And feedback just simply means, first, showing a person that we're listening, looking them in the eye, showing them the right kinds of bodily cues that, yeah, I hear what you're saying, it's important to me. I remember when we first got married, Janine and I moved our membership to the church at Blue Springs, and at the time we moved our membership there, Janine's grandfather was one of the evangelists who was working with the congregation, and her grandpa, Riggins, you know, beloved man, wonderful man, he would spend a lot of Sunday mornings at the congregation since he was the one with responsibility. And when I first started giving sermons, I was a little, admittedly, a little aware that Richard Riggins was in the audience. And I remember the first few sermons I gave, I would see out of the corner of my eye, they usually actually sat right over here, I would see out of the corner of my eye Richard doing things like this. And I thought to myself, what did I just say? Did I say something false? Am I teaching some sort of falsehood? I mean, am I going to get corrected? Am I going to be asked to sit down at some point? You know, the body language was saying that what I just said was wrong. Well, once I got to know him a little bit better, once I came to understand that oftentimes what would happen is, you know, a speaker would say something, and like a lot of us, that would send Richard on a train of thought, and, you know, he'd follow that train, and sometimes it would end in a place that didn't really please him all that much. So it wasn't what I said, it was kind of where he was headed with his own thinking, and, you know, that just doesn't make any sense. But, you know, when a person's doing that out of the corner of your eye, and it's a guy like that, it can really send you a signal that, kind of shoot your confidence pretty quickly. So body language does really help. Nodding occasionally, smiling, using facial expressions, your posture, all those sorts of things can help encourage that person to show them that what they are saying matters to you. And this, I believe, is absolutely key. One of the things that I have noticed, and I've read this elsewhere, so I believe it to be true, if you spend most of the time listening and allow the other person to talk, what that tells them is that person cares about me. You're showing them that you care about them. You care about their perspective. You care about their point of view. And that act of listening can help build a rapport with that person that I think is very, very valuable. And giving them that feedback, encouraging them to continue talking and trying to understand where they're coming from, I think is very helpful. I think it's also important to point out, and this is one thing that Paul Simon pointed out in his song Sound of Silence, is that you can hear but not listen. I mean, that's kind of what James is talking about in the first chapter of James when he talks about hearers versus doers. I mean, there are people who hear the word of God, but then there are people who do it. There's a difference between hearing it and listening to it. And it seems to me that the doer listens to the word of God. That it's not just a matter of hearing the words that are coming from the word of God, but the doer is actually listening, carefully taking them into consideration, and then translating that listening into a practice and to living it out. In Isaiah chapter 44, verses 18 and 19, God says concerning the Israelites, they do not know or understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. And no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire. Yes, I have also baked bread on its coals. I have roasted meat and eaten it. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood? And that in that passage, God is talking about how the children of Israel use wood to make idols and use wood to light a fire. And God says, they hear my words. I've got my prophets out there preaching to them, but obviously the message is not sinking in. They're hearing, but they're not listening. So we want to be the type of people who are taking into consideration what the other person is saying and closely following what they are saying to us. And part of what we can do, I think, to provide feedback, to show that person that we're listening, showing that person that we care about what they're saying, is to ask a lot of questions. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 2, that 18th chapter of Proverbs is really good. I'll say it one more time. In verse 2, Solomon says, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." Now, when you put that together with what Solomon says 11 verses later, that makes a lot of sense. Some people only care about what they're going to say. Solomon says that sort of person is foolish. They're not really interested in understanding. They're just interested in expressing their own opinion. Same chapter, Proverbs 18, verse number 15. Just a couple verses after, Solomon talks about not answering a matter before you've heard it. He says this, "The discerning person acquires knowledge, and the wise person seeks knowledge." If you want to be a good listener, you got to dig into what that person is saying. Acquire knowledge. Seek for understanding. And then I really like what he says a couple chapters later in chapter 20, verse number 5. He says, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Ah, that's a really good verse. Solomon is saying, if you really want to understand what a person thinks, the heart is like this deep well of water. And a person who really wants to understand, a person who really wants to come to grips with what another person believes, will draw it out like water. They're going to pull it out. And how do you do that? Well, they're asking questions. And it does not mean that you will necessarily understand, that you won't agree with everything that person says. All you're doing is seeking to understand. And I like what one man says when he recounts Bible studies that he has with people. One evangelist will say when he has a Bible study with someone he's trying to help convert, he'll say this oftentimes, that they may be studying the Bible, but I'm studying them, trying to get to know them, trying to understand them, trying to understand where they're coming from so that a better answer can be given. So asking questions can be a great way to provide feedback. And then finally, responding appropriately. You've paid attention, you've tried to understand, and then make sure that you respond in an appropriate way. You know, it's a passage we refer to a lot, and at times we can run the risk of almost making it cliche. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5, I think it's just an excellent passage to serve as a guide for good listening. Think about what Paul says concerning love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not envious. Love does not brag. Love is not puffed up. It is not rude. It is not self-serving. It is not easily angered or resentful. There's many of those qualities that I think could impact how we respond to someone in our communication. After we've listened, after we have sought to understand what they believe, I think 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 gives us some good guidance. Love is not rude. Later on, it says love is not easily provoked. It's not easily angered or resentful. And all those are good reminders as we're giving a response, as we're saying something back to someone, keeping ourselves in check. In our day and age, it seems like we have lost the art of being able to disagree with someone without things being taken emotionally. Don't you all agree? I mean, it's okay to disagree with someone, isn't it? I mean, that's all right. You know, unless it's with me and then you're wrong, right? I mean, that's kind of the attitude, isn't it? But it is okay to disagree with someone. I think what we've lost is the ability to do this in a constructive and tactful way. For instance, rather than saying something like, well, you're completely wrong, just say something to the effect of, well, I see things differently. Let me describe how. Just treating another person with respect. And I also like what was said to me a few years ago, and I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, the golden rule should apply in our response, should it not? How would we want to be treated? And make sure that I treat that person with that respect in return. One of the things that I think is really difficult to handle, though, is what to do when someone gets angry. If you've got a person who's angry, how should you respond? A couple years ago, I read a book called Crucial Conversations, and it had some good things to say, but they had a really catchy little saying in the middle of it that I thought was pretty good. They said, when a person gets furious, you should get curious. I think that's a good piece of advice. If someone is angry, if they're all worked up, the worst thing you can do is respond in kind, right? What's Solomon say? A soft answer turns away wrath. Rather than getting angry in return, begin to ask yourself questions and ask them questions. Ask yourself, why would a reasonable, rational, decent person say this? So don't return in kind. Don't return evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, as we're told in a number of different places. Peter says this. Paul says it in some different words in other places as well. Don't return in kind. If someone gets furious, get curious. Don't allow them to influence you in losing your own temper. But one last thing, as I draw this to a close, in giving a response, maybe the right response is no response at all. A few years ago, my mom passed away. It was back in 2011. And about 3 months later, my grandma Freeman was in the hospital, and she was dying. And she was in there for several days. And, of course, we had a lot of people come visit us to be a comfort. And admittedly, and those of you that have been through this, I think will know what I'm talking about. Some people come to visit, and they're not particularly comforting when they're there. But some people come, and you really welcome their presence. I remember there was one man who spent almost the entire time with us while we were in the hospital. And the thing I really appreciated about him was he sat over in the corner of the waiting room and didn't really talk to anyone. He just wanted to be there. Now, if someone walked up to him and, you know, struck up a conversation, he was friendly. You know, he wanted to be there to be supportive, but he didn't feel the need to comfort everyone with a lot of words. He just wanted to be there, and his presence was assuring. It was comforting. And those few days really taught me something. And I've come to understand this even better since. Sometimes the right thing to say is nothing at all. Because what can be said? Sometimes we just rack our brains trying to figure out, well, what should I say in response? And quite frankly, there's just nothing to say. There are things that we confront in life that are so tragic and heartbreaking and horrific that really the only two words we can say is, I'm sorry. Or I'll pray for you. And the last thing that some people need in those moments are for us to try and solve their problems, right? We just need to be there and listen. Friedrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German theologian, lived during World War II, observed this, and I thought this was really good. Often a person can be helped merely by having someone who will listen to him seriously. I think that's so true. Just sit there and listen to what they're saying. If they're unloading on you, maybe no response is needed at all. Just sit and listen. Be present, be there, but don't feel like you need to give some sort of wise words in response, because sometimes no response is better than any response you can come up with. If you're here this afternoon and you're not a Christian, we extend the gospel invitation to you one more time. If we can help you obey the gospel by hearing your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, by helping you be united with his death, burial, and resurrection in the waters of baptism. This is a great opportunity. Let's stand and sing, and please come forward if you want to obey.
We're singing 904. 904.